me. Honestly, I need to stop doing that. What a tet!
That's right. Quite funny.
You ready again?
Yeah.
Thank fuck, we were only a few minutes in.
Aye.
Oh dear, here we go. Hello and welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and we are once again joined by Nico. How's it going, buddy?
I'm not bad, how are you?
I'm alright. I don't know, like, maybe I was... If people at home are wondering, maybe I didn't sound quite as excited there for the intro, that's because we already fucking did it, and I forgot to hit the record button on my microphone. So, we're here again! Nico, like, we'll quickly go over what we talked about. Nico got his job. We want superpowers. We're not going to get superpowers.
We were discussing which ones we would want.
Yeah, and I said fly, and you said instant. Oh, I can't even say it.
Instant teleportation, and I didn't say I wanted that. What I said was that would be better than flying.
Well, yeah, that's just like elevating it to the next level, isn't it? Yeah. That's like the next tier up. So what would you want then?
I don't know. I've had to think about it. I'd like something, because I said I'd be a villain. There's guaranteed that. So it's like mind control or something like that. Like someone you manipulate the masses, you know what I mean? Just
so,
someone.
A bit like David Tennant in Jessica Jones.
No, that's too rapey.
Without the rapiness.
But, well, no, not really. I wouldn't want to just control one person at a time. I'd be like, aye, here's my army. Deal with them. See you later.
Okay. But kind of.
Kind of, but better.
Just, kind of just without the sexual assault. That's a good thing.
Without the sexual assault and hurting the folk you're actually doing it to.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, we're talking about a film. This is a film. We're talking about Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, although I might be wrong, I can't remember our conversation. Is this the first time you've seen this?
No.
No?
I'm the one that suggested it, remember?
That's right. I couldn't remember how we even decided that we were going to cover this film.
Because we were talking about Stephen King and the subject that is taboo. And then the subject is taboo is the movie that we totally disagree on. And then we got on the subject of Stephen King, and I was like, do you want to record on him?
That's the only movie
he directed.
I remember the conversation now, and I think we can all understand why this was the only fucking movie he directed. But we'll get into that a lot more in just a few minutes. We'll just quickly clear up some of the housekeeping. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is at Behind the Screams Podcast. And you can also find us on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/Behind the Screams Podcast. We're recording this on Friday, so obviously for those listening on the downloads, it's a couple of days later, but I'm going to be streaming Resident Evil Village tonight, and I'm very excited.
Cool game.
Yeah, just released. Very, very excited. So that should be a lot of fun. I'll, as usual, Nico, give you the opportunity, but I'm going to assume, as per, you have nothing to plug.
No.
No, okay. Shall we just get on with this movie then?
Oh, wait. I will plug one thing. Get your job. Don't get it. There you go.
Yeah, get your job. There you go. If you could only plug one thing, that was a good thing to plug.
There you go.
Okay. Right, are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, we are talking about Maximum Overdrive.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
What the dickens is going on around here?
And who was driving it?
I don't know.
Curtis! It's coming after us! What is going on?
I don't know!
You want a war? You got one.
I just want to get the hell out of here.
Please don't let us be in the dark.
Help me.
You're going to get us in an awful lot of trouble, man.
We already in trouble.
Maximum terror.
Jesus coming and he is
Maximum King.
Maybe tomorrow will be our world again.
Dino De Laurentiis presents Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
I don't even want to do this review.
This is revenge for trolls too.
Oh, that's a tough one. This movie was released in 1986, written and directed by Stephen King, stars Emilio Estevez, Pat Hingle, and Laura Harrington. IMDb plot: a group of people try to survive when machines start to come alive and become homicidal. This is so shit.
See, the rumor is they were going to be remaking it.
Oh, but, just right. You know how people are like how you are a little bit with Child's Play. I'm not going to get into the row. We're not going to get into the row. But you know, like, there are certain people who just think. I mean, I know you don't have this train of thought, but there are certain people out there who just don't think remakes should exist, especially of movies that they love. Right?
Yeah.
I also don't want to see remakes of movies that I hate. Because there's this train of thought, right? And there's people who say remakes should be reserved for movies that weren't good the first time round. And I'm just, why? Like, I would give it the same opportunity that I would give any other remake, because I believe in giving remakes a chance. But I'm just like, that, to me, that train of thought doesn't make sense. If anything, to me, that makes me want to see the remake even less.
See, this is the thing. Sometimes you have really shit movies with a great idea, and it deserves a chance.
Yeah, and you know what that movie is? Terminator. Because this movie is the Terminator.
This movie is the Terminator. This movie is not the Terminator.
No, but it's the machines coming to life, isn't it? Like, obviously the plot, obviously there's very different plot points, it's a very different movie, but essentially this is Terminator.
Well, no, Terminator is a sentient machine that decides to kill everyone off with folk that look like them, basically. There's nothing like that in this.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is in terms of the deeper plot of it's the machines that come to life.
Plus, it's one sentient machine in Terminator. This is an asteroid. Okay. You've got to remember,
you know what
it's
this
all
is?
To do with the asteroid. It's all alien.
This is ground zero for Terminator. So this is like day one for Skynet.
No, because you've got to realise, this is an alien movie, which folk forget.
That's because it's never fucking talked about, It's talked about in the words that are on your screen at the beginning and the end, and like once in the middle. No one fucking cares about this being an alien movie.
It's not even talked about in the words at the start. All it says at the start is, in the fucking dust cloud of a fucking asteroid, as they're passing through it, the machines fucking...
They don't even mention it, do they?
Exactly. So it's like the machines, like, basically... I like the idea of this. I think a remake of this, especially nowadays, could you imagine somebody playing an Xbox and the Xbox coming to life and killing them? It would be amazing.
I mean, they could have done that in this film with whatever console was out in the mid-80s, the Commodore or something.
I don't even think... I think it would have been Atari, would it not?
Would it have been Atari? You would know. You were around.
I was just around. I was 5 when this was out.
I was merely a twinkle in my father's eye at this point.
I saw this when I was about 11 or 12, because it was I went round to a friend's house and it was like, ooh, Stephen King movie on, let's watch that. Because like the week before it was like, I think it was A Stand or something, which was actually a decent TV movie. And then they were like, oh, well, watch this then. It must be good to Stephen King.
So this is Stephen King's only movie that he directed.
He did everything. He wrote it, he directed it, he sang the theme tune, played the theme tune.
There's you know what? It's funny you say that. I've got conflicting stuff about that when we get later on. into the trivia that I'll talk about. There's one good thing in my mind to this movie.
Emilio Estevez, that's it.
Oh, no, that's not even what I was going to pick.
Really?
I'm going to pick, you know what I'm going to pick? AC fucking DC.
Yeah, I do love that, like, they basically thought, ah, we're going to do a Flash Gordon type thing and fucking get the whole soundtrack done by AC/DC. I do like that as well, I'm not going to deny it.
And, you know, that I feel like that's probably very much closer, even if you're either of us, I don't know if you're like a massive AC/DC fan. I'm a fan. I'm not like diehard in the womb fan of AC/DC, but they are much closer to our sort of genres of music than.
Yeah, I went to Thunder in the Glen to watch the AC/DC tribute band that was on there. That's how fucking much I like AC/DC.
But there you go. So, yeah, I absolutely fucking love the soundtrack to this movie. I would buy the soundtrack to this. In fact, just I probably have, just not even realised it.
I think Who Made Who was the song that was written for this, if I remember rightly.
Okay.
I might be wrong.
See, I'm terrible with remembering timelines of songs and when things came out and when they didn't come out. I thought it was Hell's Bells, but...
No, Hell's Bells was before that, but I remember basically there's like two songs written for this, and I'm pretty sure Who Made Who, because of the one that keeps shouting, "We made you," because of that whole fucking shit.
We'll get onto her in a second as well.
Yeah.
Stephen King actually offered them all roles in this film, but
yeah,
they all...
did he not put their tour bus in it?
Their tour bus is in it at the very beginning. You see,
yeah,
you know, when the bridge is rising, you can
see...
Yeah,
that's right, I forgot about that. Yeah.
You can see the AC/DC tour bus. They all turned it down because they said, well, we're not actors. And I think they made the right choice, to be honest.
Yeah, they definitely did.
So, you cited there Emilio Estevez as the other... your positive. Like,
yeah.
Why... Because I don't think Emilio Estevez is good in this film.
No, he's not. Don't get me wrong, he's not good in this, but he's the only one that is actually good in this. Like, because the thing is, right, you've seen him act, he can act. But in this, he's just normal acting, whilst everyone else is doing either the most overacting you can think of, or they've just turned up and went, I'll play me.
The thing is, I think... had he been overacting like anyone else, I might have gotten a little bit more on board with it, because then I'd have just been like, this is just fucking batshit insane. And
yeah,
at that point, if that had happened, I probably would have gone with the opinion that this is so bad it's good. And instead, yeah, I'm just left here thinking, this is not good. And
a lot of people say this is one of the first movies that is so bad it's good. And I'm not one of those people, by the way.
Okay, good. Well, we're in agreement. For once, we're in agreement, because we're generally not in agreement about which films are so bad it's good, because I think Troll 2 is so bad it's good, and you're very much not in that camp.
That is the worst film ever.
Worse than this. Here you go. I would rather watch Troll 2 than watch this movie.
See, I'm the opposite. I'd rather watch this than Troll 2.
No, you're wrong.
You're wrong too. Like, we finally found something.
Okay, you know what else I'd rather watch? I'd rather watch Birdemic than this movie.
No.
I would rather watch Birdemic. I hope Lucy is not listening to this, because she would never let me forget saying that. But I would rather watch Birdemic than this film. This is horrendous. And I know that's the thing. This film is a cult classic. There are groups of people, and there are friends of this podcast, people who do other podcasts that you know I've been on and things like that, who I know love this movie.
Yeah, and... like, I used to love it, because when I first saw it, I saw this a couple of years afterwards, and I used to love it because it was basically the overact of the cheesiness, but it was at that time when there was a lot of that going on, and to be honest, the first time I watched that, I wasn't really watching it properly. But I was watching it all the way through the second and third time I watched it, and it stuck with me. It's one of those ones that was always late at night, so you could fall asleep watching it.
I wish I wasn't watching this film properly.
You gotta remember, there was a lot of shit films on, especially when it was just four channels.
Oh yeah, no, like, I totally get that, but just objectively, this... And listen, there are reasons for why this film is not good, and you know, we'll talk about, you know, Stephen King a little bit in a little bit as well. But let's get through some of this film, shall we? So,
well, I'll tell you one thing. This has got a cult following in the UK because of, remember I told you about the Videodrome they used to have really good films on,
yeah,
on BBC Two.
Yeah.
This was one of the films that they always used to bring up, and they always used to play. And it, I think it's because the guy had a hard on for Stephen King. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Stephen King. I have been open about that many times.
Much to the detriment sometimes of our relationship.
Yeah, but this is part of why I thought I'd suggest this movie, because you can see he is fallible with this.
Well, I mean, like, the idea that this is what shows Stephen King is fallible is also, in my mind, a bit laughable, because I think there's a lot of, like, don't get me wrong, I love Stephen King. I think Stephen King is potentially one of the most influential people in horror of all time. You can definitely make that argument. You know, he's up there with those big names, with the, you know, the names from the Universal Monster movies, the Bela Lugosi's and Boris Karloff and Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and Vincent Price and John Carpenter and Wes Craven and all those names. Stephen King's name belongs right alongside all of them. But in terms of his novels, but also in terms of some of the adaptations, there's a lot of shit.
Oh yeah, he does do shit ones, but I thought I'd go for the worst of the worst.
I also don't think this is genuinely the worst. Right, okay, well, here's a fucking statement for you. And I'm not saying this just to be inflammatory. I'm just saying that right now, because this is a plus point for this film.
Right.
I would rather watch this film than watch Doctor Sleep again.
You're just doing that.
No, I swear, I put my hand... I know you can't see me, but I put my hand on my heart. I swear... That's how much I hate Dr. Sleep.
See, like, I just don't get that at all. Because, don't get me wrong, so, like, this is, like, I just can't even, like, comprehend that. Because Dr. Sleep is a million times better than
Sleep. I think overall, I would rather have fucking piles than watch either of these two movies. I'd rather have fucking hemorrhoids and need one of those little rubber rings that you need to sit on than watch either of these two movies again.
No. Like, you know where I stand on Dr. Sleep. I love Dr. Sleep. I think it did a very good job. And you comparing it to this movie is just shambolic.
Maybe so, but it's also true.
That's just unbelievable. Unbelievable, Jeff.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, that's just how I feel about this. That's how I feel about Doctor
Sleep. How you feel about Doctor Sleep, not this movie. I know how you feel about this movie.
So we kind of touched on Emilio Estevez there.
Right.
This has got a bit of an odd fucking cast. Like, you've also got... potentially one of the most famous voices in history, like in terms of how many people have heard this person's voice work, and that's Yardley Smith.
And does she not half use it in this too often?
And of course, she obviously is definitely most famed as being Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons. Very, very young Yardley Smith as well. And you're right, like, she's potentially one of the most annoying characters in cinema of all time.
This is going to offend a lot of people, but she needs to shut the fuck up.
This just, for me, this is where this film starts to become really problematic, because you look, there's three women in this movie, and obviously we're speaking at this both from a male perspective, but there's three women in this movie, and none of them are particularly good representations of women. You've got Yardley Smith, who's playing Connie, who's just this whiny character, you know, she's just constantly really high-pitched, irritating character. You've got the...
horrid, whiny, like, this is the stereotypes that you had in the 80s, that's why this is so weird. Like, the three women fit exactly the stereotypes that most films concentrate on.
Yeah, because then you've got the waitress at the diner, Who becomes hysterical and loses her mind and ends up getting killed.
And then, you've got the bad girl.
And then you've got the bad girl, the who's Brett, is it, whose name I've just forgotten, is it Brett?
Yeah.
Who's,
and what makes her bad? She's got a straight razor.
She's got a straight razor down her boot. And, you know, her and Emilio Estevez sleep together after saying about three words to each other.
Aye, and the thing is, it's straight after, it's the usual 80s thing, they sleep with each other straight after a trauma of some sort.
Yeah.
And I mean that for a lot of movies, because whether it be a murder, I remember watching one movie where it was like, the dame, it's basically like Midnight Meat Train, the dame's like, pretty much the same thing, except they took it further than just a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the subway, the gangs there.
Oh,
like,
also, maybe that fucking scene where they're kissing, but they're constantly just like the most minimal contact between their faces. Yeah. It's just like, why even fucking have that in there? Like, just do air kisses at that point. Like, what the fuck's going on? This film is so problematic against women. Like it really is.
The first scene tells you what to expect with this movie, because the very first scene, it says, fuck you.
Yes, like, so this was the first time I'd saw this. I had not watched this movie before. Obviously, I'd heard about it. I knew what it was about. I'd seen the imagery, but I'd never sat down and watched it. And I'm fucking glad I didn't waste earlier time in my life doing so. So when that happened, I was just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I was just so confused. I don't know. I was going to save it for my trivia, but I'll put it in now since we're talking about this scene. There's a wee cameo in that scene. Did you spot it?
Yeah, it's Stephen King. The machine calls him an asshole.
Yeah, it's Stephen King. Starring in his own steaming pile of shit.
Like, he's the first character you see as well.
He is.
His own movie that he wrote, that he directed, the first person you see is him.
He's not got a big, massive ego at all, you know. I'm surprised he was able to wipe the white off the end of his nose to even get himself into this film, you know. We'll talk about that a little bit later on as well.
You can definitely tell he's, you know about the scenes that have been cut from this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Good, we'll get on to that in the trivia, but that's funny, right? Before you know the machines have taken over properly, like the very first machine that gets taken over that you see in the movie is one of them, the carvers you get.
Yes.
The plug-in ones. And back then, those things cut fucking shit. How the fuck it's meant to cut that dame's arm by itself with no pressure? I have no idea.
It's the aliens. I know. Right. Here's my issue as well with this film. It's way too fucking long.
Yes.
Like, cut half an hour out of this, because there are so many unnecessary scenes that just go on and on and on. You know,
the clock, for example. That bit is just so weird. Brand new married couple, they stop at a truck stop, he looks at a clock going backwards, looks at her, looks at a clock going backwards again.
Well, also, but like... Why is the clock going backwards? That's not a machine.
Who knows?
It's a battery-powered clock.
But a lot of this stuff isn't a machine thing.
No, like, the electric... Did you notice that the electric knife, you could see the batteries?
Yeah. When he said it with the hammer, destroying it, the batteries are pinging out, and it's still moving. That freaked me out a little bit.
Obviously, the big bads in this are the lorries, the trucks.
Yeah.
And they spend what seems like a fucking eternity just circling this petrol station, this garage.
Yeah.
And there's a point like an hour into the movie where Brett's like, oh, we've survived the first 12 hours, only another 7 days to go. And I'm just like, what? Like,
that's the thing, that bit you read at the start. It's so precise, the time as well. It gives it you right down to seconds. Like, the Earth's going to pass through this cloud for, 7 days, 37 minutes and whatever seconds it is. Folk will know what it is. I can't remember exactly what it is. But it's
I actually have it written in my notes.
Have you got it?
It's 8 days, 5 hours, 29 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yeah. Why do you need that much detail in it? You know what I mean?
Who fucking knows at this point? Let's go through some of these... some of the plot points and things. So you've got Bill. We find out that Bill, who's played by Emilio Estevez, is an ex-con. He's out of prison, on parole, and he's gotten a job in this truck stop. And the owner of the truck stop, whose name also escapes me right now,
Hendershot,
he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, I know this stuff used to happen. This is the fucking scary part. Folk used to basically use cons as like extra labor for themselves and rip them off.
Yeah,
because they could report them and just send them back to prison.
And we get,
this guy has a star next to people's names who he's got employed with him, who's got a criminal record, and if they fuck up, he's going to send them back to prison.
Well, this is what confused me about that scene. So you're right, like, that's exactly, you know, what we see. He's asking him to work for 9, but only clock in for 8.
You're staying here 9.5 hours and just clock in 8.
And then, you know, he threatens to send him back to jail. When we see the clocking cards, Bill has a star against his name. There are people who don't. There's someone that's got 2 stars. What do you think?
I know!
What do you think they did?
Fuck knows, but I think it's the, you know, he's like right-hand man, he's bitch. Mm-hmm. I forget his name. Joey. I think that's the guy. Yeah, it's Joey. It's got the 2 stars, is it not?
Is it? Oh, so maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Like that confused me a little bit as well. But yeah, so this guy is, and throughout the film, this guy is just the biggest arsehole. And this is one of the big things that I have with this movie. There is no depth to any of the characters. They are all so one note and one dimensional. They all have one character trait, and that is the only character trait they play throughout the film. You know, I've forgotten Yardley Smith's character name again. I'm terrible. Connie. Just loud and annoying and whiny. That's it. You've got Brett, who's clearly supposed to be a badass, but is not.
He's meant to be like a Ripley type, but you're just thinking, you're nowhere near it, babe.
Yeah, exactly. You've got, you know, Joey, who's just dumb. And that goes on. You've got the waitress, who's hysterical. And that just filters throughout the entirety of the cast.
Yeah.
And that includes, obviously, Hendershot, who is just a dick the entire time. Like, literally every scene he's in, he says and does something more terrible. Why has he got a basement full of weapons? You see that scene where he just walks out with the bazooka? Because that happens before we even know he's got the weapons. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, where the fuck did he get that bazooka from?
It was the 80s.
I don't know. Is that a... It was the 80s. Is that a legitimate...
Yeah, because remember, there was the whole contrast thing. Folk had, like, RPGs in the streets of New York. It was fucking mental back then.
I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I was so, so confused by that.
You know I grew up in Maastricht, not the best area. And
I thought you were saying New York.
No, right. So you knew I grew up in Maastricht. It wasn't the best area.
No.
In the 80s, I remember one of the dads had an Uzi.
A real one.
It didn't have bullets with it, but he had an Uzi.
That is the most fucking Scottish thing.
Yeah.
I'll hear a gun, but why bullets? What are we gonna need them for? Right. Scottish people buy guns to beat each other to death with.
That's the thing. He's like fucking. I remember he had this for about 2-3 years and then sold it like it was fucking nothing. Now. You know what I mean? It was the 80s. It was a totally different time and it was fucked up.
When
folk say they survive, they fucking survive.
I mean, even with that example you're talking about, obviously guns is just not the issue over here that it is in somewhere like the United States. Obviously, we've had horrendous things happen in the past, but it's just not that issue, is it? And it's still... I wonder how they think that plays out across the world in countries where there is no real gun crime. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there is no gun crime here, because there is. But just it's nowhere near those astronomical levels that
See,
it is
the thing
in the United States.
Over here, before all the gun controls came in, there was still next to no gun crime compared to what they had. You had the occasional sawn-off shotgun and a bank go off, or the occasional copper shot. That was about it.
And then Dunblane happened.
And then Dunblane happened, and they fucking got rid of all the handguns. Yeah. Like, I remember on Union Street, there used to be a fucking rifle shop.
Really?
And what they did, yeah. There used to be a rifle shop there. There used to be a gun and tackle shop on George Street that had guns in it. There used to be one up next to Holborn, roundabout Holborn. And that was the one in Union Street. It had this two shops there. So it moved from Union Street to there where the gun controls came in. And then all they were allowed to sell was rifles. So they pretty much went bust. You know what I mean?
Shame. for those who, for our international listeners, these are locations in Aberdeen, just in case they're like, where the fuck we're talking about.
You got that bit out, it's fine.
No, it's fine. But like, yeah, like, so obviously...
There used to be a thing over here.
Yeah, no, no, absolutely. But we had a school shooting, which is what Dunblane is, for those who don't know. And we were like, right, no more of fucking that, and just got rid of the law.
And the thing is, it was much like the rest of the world when they introduced the gun controls. What they did was, they got rid of all the handguns, they got rid of all the automatic weapons, they got rid of all that sort of stuff that can be hidden or mass kill people. So all it was bolt action rifles you could buy. That was all, bolt action rifles.
Because they can't kill people.
Well, they can, but it takes fucking forever to reload, you know what I mean?
That's fine. So it's okay to kill the first person.
No, but what I mean is, I'm not finished yet.
I know.
So they limited that, and then you realised folk did like using guns, so fucking they had the bolt rifles, they went to shooting ranges, they did all that shit. There's still one in Aberdeen. There's one Hazelhead somewhere, I think it is. And so you've still got people who still go shooting, but they've got their guns locked up constantly. If you're moving them, you've got to tell the police.
They're very restricted.
Very restricted over here, and it works.
I mean,
unfortunately, I can never fire one again, but it works.
Personally, like, I wouldn't even have them restricted as they are. I don't think there's any need for them whatsoever. I don't believe in using them for killing animals as well. Like, all those sorts of things. We have no right. We don't own this planet. We have no rights to kill the animals that are on this planet. Unless they are for food purposes. Obviously, other animals kill other animals for food purposes, but, you know, I thought we can't... But look, we're getting into a whole other topic and debate here that I don't really want
to... My see on it is, if you're going to... Like, shooting's fun. It is. If you've ever shot a gun, it is fun. But here's the thing. Outweigh that with somebody's life, yeah, you should ban all that shit, or they should be locked up, you know what I mean? The guns should be locked somewhere where you can't take them away.
Yeah.
And if you are going hunting, you're not going hunting for sport. You're going hunting to kill it, cook it, eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my... And I've done that, and it's great fun, and I enjoyed it. And I have been one of those people who have done that. And I don't believe in just doing it for the fun of it. I did it to see if I could.
Yeah. No, that's... I think you're not a million miles away from where I'm at with the whole thing as well. Like, I think anyone who kills animals for sport is... cruel and evil and deserves, you know what, just set them in a room, hold their eyes open and make them watch this movie repeatedly for like 10 years.
This, Birdemic,
and Trolls.
Yeah. Oh, and what's the one that you, Slenderman?
Slenderman. Oof. I didn't even think of that. Anyways, we've gone way off track.
No, back to Maximum Overdrive.
Back to Maximum Overdrive. I'd rather talk about all this other shit than continue to talk about this movie. So yeah, as I was saying, the characters are also one-dimensional, but the character of Hendershot is just so reprehensible. Like that fucking scene where he's just like, is it Deke, the little kid's name?
Aye.
He's just like, oh, your dad's deed. Oh well, bad luck.
Ah, but they say he's like roadkill or something.
Yeah. Like, holy fucking shit. Now.
Because his dad gets blinded by one fucking thing. Because he's looking, like,
he's looking down the
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? There's a diesel pump that stops working. Because obviously, like, the story is everything that we've made, every man-made object, basically, if it's got a motor in it, it can be fucking animated and comes to life. So you're talking everything from your TVs, your CD, your tape players, your arcade machines right through to your trucks, right through to your planes. Everything comes to life. So in this, the pump stops working. He looks down the nozzle thinking there's a blockage, which this used to happen then, but you weren't a twat and looked down. You used to stick your finger in the nozzle, you know what I mean? Or since I was a kid at the time, Nick, come here, stick your finger in there, will you? All right, fair enough. And then that's how you used to do it, done and dusted. But this guy's looking down the nozzle and it sprays him in the face with diesel, which makes him blind. Mm-hmm. Then a truck runs him over and makes him roadkill. This is about 5 seconds after hearing that things are coming alive and he's got to go get his kid.
There's no, on that point, there's just, you raised the point, there's no tension in this film.
No. It's like you could tell somebody was on coke when they were doing this movie because everything is jumpy. Yeah, everything is it has to happen now. It has to happen
There's
now.
There's absolutely no build attention at all whatsoever.
Nope.
What I will give this movie, right? Here we go. I've got another. There are some fun, if that's a word I could use. There's some fun deaths.
Yeah,
I'll give it the kid, and I know that's what you were alluding to earlier. The kid that gets run over with the steam.
Yeah, right, so that's a cutscene.
Yes.
So Stephen King thought it'd be a great idea to do a really slow steamroller rolling over a kid who's stuck underneath a bike. Even better, see that scene? He got a baseball, you know those machines that fire baseballs?
Mm-hmm.
He got that to fire Coke cans that were full at children. Right. Now if you're filming a movie, in what realm does that make sense?
Coked out Stephen King's realm, apparently.
Yeah, like full tins thrown at kids at like fucking, those things can go like 100 mile an hour, but I'm
they
sure
could do
like
damage
60,
like
you know
if
I mean?
You ever like, I don't know, like dropped a can of juice or something on your foot.
Exactly. Like now, imagine that 60 yeah. mile an hour towards your fucking, and those kids are running for their life.
Yeah.
That's just about the only realist thing in this movie is when those kids are running from the tins.
I just watched it and I saw the kid getting run over and I was like, holy fucking shit, they just ran over a kid with a fucking steamroller.
That was maybe like a fucking 10-minute scene.
Yeah, and they had to get cut for a... there was another effect that he was wanting to do as well. He was wanting like the blood pack to explode and then have this really cool effect where it was obviously the blood was on the steamroller. And it was like painting the grass green, red. But they set it off too early and it exploded just before you'll see it. Like, if you go back and slow it down, you'll see it explodes before the steamroller even hits him.
But, like, there's other scenes that have been cut with this. Like, the one I really wanted to see was the one that's the... Am I spoiling your trivia here?
No, go on.
There's another scene where it was a... you know how you see the lawnmower that chases the kid?
Yes.
The guy's kid. Now, that was actually meant to be a scene where you saw somebody get run over by that lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, like in Sinister.
Yeah, so it got taken off because somebody, I can't remember who it was, but somebody got hit in the eye with a bit of wood thrown from the lawnmower.
It's just like, this was clearly just
so it
ideas.
Blinded somebody.
Clearly just ideas made up by someone who was absolutely off their fucking tits. They're just being like, right, let's just use this lawnmower. Oh, don't we have to, like, won't that hurt? No, it won't hurt somebody. You'll be fine. Just, you know, like, that's what this whole thing stinks of, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like health and safety. Like, 80s didn't have a lot of it anyway, but there's a lot of fucking shit in this movie that you're like, health and safety, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, it's pretty rough.
Like, there's one point where there's a truck squaring off against Emilio Estevez, pushing him backwards, and it's meant to be a
truck. It's like nudging him. What the
fuck? You've got to remember, how they used to film that shit was the folk were behind the wheels, ducked right down, so they couldn't see Emilio Estevez.
So they were just pushing,
blind pushing Emilio Estevez with a truck. Right, in what world would you get away with that nowadays, you know what I mean?
Oh, you just wouldn't. You just wouldn't. But there's another character that we've not really touched on yet, and that's this fucking salesman. The guy
the pervy cunt.
Wow, that's putting it mildly.
Talking about rapey.
Exactly. Like this is because this is where we get introduced to Brett. She's she's hitched a ride.
This is the proof he's a bad boss, by the way, remember.
Yeah, she's hitched a ride with this guy who keeps touching the inside of her leg, and you're just like, oh, like it actually makes you a little bit sick, doesn't it?
But do you know what I know this isn't funny, but do you know what I love about that? He's a Bible salesman.
He's a Bible salesman. Maybe Stephen King is making a comment about religion, because I know Stephen King's not a massive he's not a massive fan of like institutions and religion and things like that, is he? So maybe somewhere in his coked out mind he's trying to give a message that, you know, religion is bad. Maybe it's a comment about Catholic priests. I don't fucking know. But
well, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s.
Was he near Boston?
Oh,
stop. Sorry, I shouldn't have said
that's
that.
Enough of that. We'll have no more.
Sorry to everyone in Boston.
So, yeah, like, maybe he's making more... Maybe, like, I don't know. I'd probably given him far too much credit. Far more credit than he deserves for this steaming pile of fucking shit that is a movie. We also get these, like, weird scenes, right? Like, anyway, sorry, before I go to that, just to touch back on the cool death, we do get, is it the baseball coach die by those coke cans?
Yeah, so we're going back to that, are we? Right, so the kids are being hurled at with these fucking coke cans from an automated machine, which is just two fucking rolls that fire these things out at stupid fucking speeds. And you can see the two nozzles from the thing. Like, when you go to a coke machine, it falls down. You can see they've basically just put the front on top of this machine because there's two nozzles sticking out. And that's the coach when the coach gets killed. He looks down it because it hits him in the nuts first, and then he bends over and gets hit in the face.
And what I will say is, the effects on his head are no bad.
Aye.
Like, I'll give the film that. Like, that looks cool. But then it's the bit where Deke just goes up to him and he's like, are you okay? It's like that fucking scene in Scary Movie 3 or Scary Movie 4 in the beginning where the person is clear, like their head falls off and they're just like, are you okay?
But it's like every other kid has run for their life, and I'm pretty sure he's one of the kids running for his life, but yet he's managed to get there.
Yeah. But this is another part of the movie where all these scenes are just extended. Like, how long does it take for us to get Deke to the truck stop? We get this scene with the lawnmower. We get the scene with the ice cream truck. The scene with the airplane. You know,
the scene with the dog.
The scene with the dog. Don't get me fucked. Like, why is that there other than to just upset people?
Yeah,
I'm not one of these. Like, I know there's a huge group of people out there that's like, you shouldn't kill animals in movies. Like, don't kill the animals. Like, they're against it. I'm not necessarily one of those people. I think there is artistic merit in it, but there's no reason to have this fucking dog here.
But I think that's one of the cut scenes, because a lot of the cut scenes are the death is he's going there. So I think that's one of the cut scenes where basically it's a toy police car has rammed itself down a dog's throat. Now, I'm hoping that...
You know what, like, I just heard you... sorry to interrupt, but I just heard you said that sentence, and I actually had to fucking pinch myself.
Oh, well, we've got the clip that's going out there.
How is that even a thing? You know what? Last night, and for those who don't know, last night we recorded Tusk. We recorded next week's episode on Tusk. And
I'm going to listen to that today, by the way. I can't wait to watch. I'm going to listen to that in the bath because I love that movie.
We recorded that last night. And there's, you know, you know the movie. There's times where you have to like pinch yourself and be like, what the fuck's going on? But this movie takes the fucking cake. Honestly, like, just say that sentence again for me, please.
So, there's a dog that had a toy police car rammed down its throat.
Oh, no. Like, this is what I don't get. If you've cut the rest of that scene, why not just cut the dog?
I know. Like, I hope that wasn't a cut scene. I hope that was just a throwaway shot. They had a stuffed dog and thought, oh, well, this will be a cute scene. You know,
I fucking hope it was a stuffed dog.
I hope they didn't try and actually film something like that, because that you can tell this is his first ever movie, but his only ever movie that he's directed.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to do something different. And then he's got coked up and did this.
He certainly did do something different. You're absolutely right there.
2 seconds. I need to check something. Sorry.
It's okay. I'll take over. So, this film for me, it just... There's even though like I've given it a couple of things, you know, I've said, oh well, We do like the soundtrack, and there's a couple of good bits of effects. There's a couple of laughs in there. None of it even comes close to redeeming this film for me. They're so fucking throwaway moments.
Yeah, because everything in this is like throwaway. Like, you really, like, in these, you're normally hoping to survive. And I'm not being a dick. Not
I want
even
them all
really
to die.
Yeah, you're like, I don't give a shit. Die, you cunts. You know what I mean?
Literally.
Like, perfect example is when she's getting the newlyweds, when she's getting cut out of the car and the razor comes nearer, she's like, oh my God, it looks sharp. Keep it away from me. And you're just like, I want to punch you in the face.
You're just like, can't put it, just cut her.
Aye, just wash her throat, will
just
you?
Cut her, please. Get her off.
Like, you're saving her life, but she's moaning it looks sharp.
And she just moans the rest of the movie. She's so one-dimensional.
And the thing is, that happens. Straight after it is the scene you were talking about the bazooka.
Oh, yes. That's
so
right.
So it's like, aye. And the thing is, he's not even holding it, like, right. He's holding it, like, if you watch it, he's holding it as if it's going to go up in the air. And he's hitting truck skirt and nose and everything.
So there's the moment as well later in the film where we realise that these things can communicate
with each other, yeah.
No, fucking the thing that uses Morse code.
The truck thing, yeah, but that's what I'm meaning. You realise these things can talk to each other because they had a scene where that also been cut where the plane hits a school bus.
Yeah, you still see the end result of that scene right at the end of the movie, don't you? You see the plane standing upright.
Yeah, because that's another throwaway scene. You see the plane self-controlling itself flying.
Yeah, and then never again
And then you just see at the end of the movie where it's hit the school bus.
Yeah.
So you realize these things can communicate each other basically when the army jeep turns up with a machine gun on it, which, this is the thing, that thing's just on a pivot. There's no mechanics whatsoever for that, right? Yeah. But it can turn around and shoot. So, in the logic of the mechanics thing, how does it know how to do that? Did it make something in that pole, which wouldn't have existed at the time, to do that? Like, it's just, it's impossible.
I don't have words.
Yeah, it genuinely is somebody's fueled. Like, maniac mind thinking, I'm going to make the best movie ever. Watch this.
And then it just so happens that Deke knows Morse code.
Yeah, like he's finally made it to the truck stop after about 50 days. like genuinely, you're like, can you fucking hurry up and get there?
It feels like 50 days. It was actually just 4 minutes.
Aye.
And so he can I don't even know what to call this vehicle that's got a gun mounted on it.
So jeep.
Is it just a jeep? Is it okay? So yeah. This jeep can starts trying to communicate with its horn through Morse code.
And you can see the horn going up and down. Beep, 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 beep,
I don't understand. Also, I don't necessarily know how the aliens also know Earth Morse code.
Well, to be honest, they've taken over every machine on the planet. I'm pretty sure they can work out Morse code from that.
Well, apparently, they can't even figure out how to refuel themselves. But they can figure out Morse code. Dabby game, nah, I'm not buying that shit.
Well, here's a thread for you, and it's a very thin one. It's an army truck, so therefore it must know Morse code.
So you think you think the truck had, like, knowledge that the alien assimilated when it took it over?
No, not at all, but I'm torn at that time.
we'll go with it. You know what? We'll just fucking go with it. I don't know. Like, I know we've not gone for a really, really long time about this movie, but there's not a huge deal in this, I feel like, to talk about.
You need to tell them about the whole truck stop where they actually finally do they refuel them, like how they're basically saying, what if Chamberlain gave in to the Nazis or something like that?
Yes. They're asking to refuel them, and Bill's like, yeah, okay, we'll refuel them. And then Brett's like, this is just like Chamberlain giving in to the Nazis. And you're like, what?
Like, this is the thing about it, right? Fucking, for a start, they don't even think about it. Like, there's no thought, there's no, like, you would have a meeting saying this, and that would be it. Say, wait, if you noticed, this film has everything that, like, building sites had on every wall that's black behind the restaurant.
Oh, the pornography.
Yeah, it's basically porn, right? Every wall. Like, I'm not meaning, like, even the playing cards with the two guys at the bridge. The two guys are playing cards are the dirty cards you used to get on holiday.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere you could get basically a vagina, he puts it there.
No. And we, if you're looking closely, there's a lot of fucking vaginas on that wall.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of bush.
Like, even when they're talking in the toilet, what's he looking at? I think it's Hustler or something, is it not?
Oh, probably. That fucking scene as well, where he's just, you know, all you, it's fart jokes, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You're kind of I don't know about you, but I'm rolling my eyes so fucking hard at that scene. Like,
yep.
It's just, I don't want to just be continually shitting on the same points over and over again, but.
This is the thing about it, right? That fart jokes bit, straight from the fart jokes, you get that to the fucking guns in the cellar.
Yes.
Then, as soon as you're in the guns in the cellar, they've just found this out. Oh, that's a quick throwaway thing, because they trip over the body that they took down there earlier that you've forgotten about.
Yeah, that's Duncan's body, right?
Exactly.
The kid's dad.
Aye, so roadkill's been taken in. They've put him in the cellar. You've forgotten about it by that time, because there's so much fucked up. This is the thing. There's no chain to it. There's no progression to it. And everything you forget about at the start, because it's just going ding, 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 ding. Yeah. It's quick fire, stupid shit at you.
It's well worth pointing out that we also, Hendershot does get shot eventually. The waitress also gets shot. And she's just like going hysterical constantly. We made you. We made you. Like, so what?
You can't do this to us. We made you. We made you. All right, we made you, but fucking, who cares?
Right. There's, before we get into like the last couple of scenes, there's a scene that I do want to talk about, right? And it's after one of the nights have passed, so it's morning time. There's obviously in this diner, there's like five or six people that we don't really, that have one or two lines or have non-speaking roles, right? And they're the truck drivers.
They're the truckers, yeah.
What's with the one who bursts through the door, who I don't think has said anything up until this point, but he bursts through the door in the morning and is just like, the windows on the door smash.
I know.
You know the scene I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up as well, because it's just like, this is the thing, he likes smashing stuff, because like, there's a bit with the bottle with her the first time she says, we made you, because right, they're talking, and she's like, I don't understand why this can happen to us, I don't understand, to a couple of the truckers in the diner, and then she smashes a bottle, she holds the broken bottle outside, screaming constantly, we made you, we made you, like, totally going off her tits. So that's the first time there's a smashing bit. Then there's the bit that you're talking about where they open the door. Then there's another bit where they go down the drain, and you hear smashing for no apparent reason. They're going down a fucking drain. Where's the broken glass? So he just likes the sound of broken... I think he's a Stone Cold fan, you know what I mean?
He just likes that intro. So, actually, you know what? You could play, if you go back, you could play Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme tune.
To that smashing
door. To him bursting through those doors. That would be fucking good. I'm going to see if I can make a wee gif or a wee meme of that.
That'd be quite funny, actually.
But, this is not good. We get these, like, final couple of scenes, just as we sort of wrap up this main portion of the conversation. We get these final couple of scenes where they make their escape from the truck stop, and the trucks have started, you know, driving into it and destroying things and the explosions and...
So Bill comes up with the idea of basically, we'll use a sailboat to go to an island where there's no mechanical stuff.
An island called Haven, ironically.
Exactly. It's shock there, huh?
Where there are no vehicles.
Aye, no vehicles, nothing mechanical, he says.
Where is this place?
Yeah, I'm like, what, were they a bunch of hippies or something? What? like, even hippies used to like technology back then, come on.
Like, it's just, yeah. So they make their escape. I'm just moving on now, as quickly as human fucking possible. They move on now, and you get the scene where they finally destroy the ice cream truck.
No, hold on, got to go back a second.
Oh, is it the drive-through?
No, the kid, when he comes across the guy that's meant to be dead. So So, right, the Bible salesman been run over. Mm-hmm. It's established he's dead, because she's like, I want that dead man's stench off me, basically, when she's getting changed, right?
And then randomly, he's alive.
And then randomly, the kid's walking along, and the guy grabs a hold of the kid, and is like, pick me up.
He's like, pick me up or I'll fucking kill you. And it's like, this guy's like the kid who's gonna save your life, you dickhole. Yeah.
And then he dies whilst holding the kid's leg. So rigor mortis magically happens, and he can't let go. Like, where is that a good idea?
Are you okay?
No, I'm just thinking, what the fuck?
So yeah, we get these, like I say, we get the scene where they get to the drive-thru, and the speaker at the drive-thru is just going, humans here.
Rattling them out.
Like, all of this stuff that we're talking about is so fucking crazy, I'm losing my mind.
The best part about that is, instead of, like, instantly killing it, they wait for the kid to come up, and he's like...
The kid's
it.
Just got this fucking AK-47.
He kills it, right? And when he kills it, he's like, that's for my dad.
I forgot about that!
Like, that's the thing that killed your dad. I'm pretty sure it was a truck that fucking mowed him over, but you tell that machine that it killed your dad.
We get, like, a final show-off with the Green Goblin truck as well.
Was it Funhouse one? We haven't even mentioned that. That was the scariest thing back then.
It's the most iconic. It's the most iconic thing from this movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Even though, like you say, it's the most iconic. It doesn't matter in this movie.
Yeah. So this whole thing has been terrorizing. This is like the leader of the trucks, basically.
Is it though? Is it?
Well, it makes out that several times.
I'm not convinced by it. It plays no bigger a role really than any of the others.
It's just because it's got a face on it, so they tend to fucking be next to that more often.
Okay, fair enough.
So they I think that's why they basically made it the leader sort of thing.
Yeah, so
because the eyes light up as well.
Yeah, that's true. They do. You get this like final face off with another one of the previously unnamed people from the diner who is looting a corpse.
Yeah, so he just stops. Like, they're going towards a boat. So they've got to the docks. They're going towards the boat. And he sees this ring from a mile away on a dame's hand. So he's like, oh, I'm taking that. Oh, yes, check me. And the camera pans around. And it's the slowest pan round ever. You know what's going to be behind him when he pans around, because it is just so
Jason
slow.
Jason Voorhees. No, wait, that's a different film.
No, Freddy Krueger.
I fucking wish. Right. I fucking wish. Yeah. See if this film had turned around at the very end and we'd been like, it's Jason Voorhees. I'd be like, yes. You
Actually,
son of
no,
a bitch,
Pennywise.
I'm in.
It was Pennywise all along.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. But no, he slow pans around to the Green Goblin truck, who they kill with... How many fucking rockets have they got for this bazooka?
I know. It's like infinite fucking ammo.
Like, it definitely is, and then they destroy it, and that's it. That's kind of the end of the film. They escape on the boat, and we get another piece of words. Another piece of words. That's terrible English. They get we get more words on the screen that tells us
another
that,
Star Wars line of fucking quotes. Basically,
that just tells us that they survived. And
yeah,
that's...
but if you read what it says, though.
Oh, I did, but I rubbed it from my memory.
Right, so you know how everyone was terrified in the 80s of the Russians killing us from space?
Oh, yes,
satellite.
I remember. Yes, I remember. A Russian satellite that...
A Russian weather satellite...
Destroyed a UFO.
A laser...
And
a tactical nuclear weapon on it.
Destroyed a UFO.
That's the second time it's mentioned about the UFO. Yeah. So this whole thing is basically the Tommyknockers coming here and taking over machines.
Oh. Okay, so that's the film.
I've just looked it up. 2 days after a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian weather satellite, which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and a Class 4 nuclear missile, approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of remit. Reem, it's called. Exactly as predicted. I forgot it was called Reem.
I can't fucking do this film anymore. Right, so that's the film. We've gone through it. We've done some of the highlights. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into trivia?
This was more entertaining than the film. Just talking about it was more entertaining.
And on that note, I think we should move on, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about some trivia. We'll start off as we normally do with the finances. This movie had a budget of $10 million. Grossed at the box office just $7.4 million. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised it made that much fucking money.
Yeah.
It was not a financial success, shall we say. But like we said earlier, it has gone on to have a cult classic. It has got a cult following. Those people are fucking nuts.
I know a few.
We've talked about a good chunk of this trivia. Stephen King had a small cameo as the man at the beginning being called an asshole by the ATM machine. We've alluded to many times. Stephen King admitted himself to being absolutely coked out of his mind the entire time while making this movie, to the point where he doesn't even remember most of it. And didn't know what he was doing at the time, which is pretty dangerous, to be honest.
Well, the health and safety was out the door, as I was mentioning.
Well, yeah, but even still. When asked why he has never directed another movie, in an interview, Stephen King responded by saying this: just watch Maximum Overdrive.
The thing is, if he was off the coke, I think he would be a good director.
He has previously stated that he would maybe like to try directing again, now that he's obviously been sober now for a very, very long time. He has said he would potentially be interested. If there's going to be a time, now's the time, because we're going through a Stephen King renaissance just now.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be a time, now would be the time, but I don't know if I want to see that.
I would like him, well, actually, I wouldn't like him to do it. I would like somebody that's actually a decent director to do this movie set nowadays.
Please do not let it be Mike Flanagan. No.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. That's all
I would, massively. Yardley Smith has openly admitted herself to being massively embarrassed by this film. Like, she does not like being a part of this movie. I think she knows how problematic it is as well. So
yeah,
it's not good. You talked about the score earlier. We talked about, Stephen King doing the theme tune, right? And I know you were just sort of saying it as a joke, but have you seen the trailer for this? I'm assuming you have.
I can't remember it, but I had seen it, yeah.
Okay, so the trailer literally steals the theme tune to the score from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. It's the exact same. Go back and check it out.
Really?
Go back and check it out.
So, let alone, that's like the worst one as well. Why would you steal that theme tune?
The theme tune's alright from that, but like... Yeah, like, it's completely stolen. It's not even, like, it's just ripped off. Like, it sounds very like it. It is. Seriously, go check it out once we're finished this. The last piece of trivia I have, and it's your favourite kind of trivia, it's who could have potentially been cast.
I know one. I do know one.
Okay, well, I've got two. They're both for the role of Bill, and I've got two. So who's the one that you know?
I can't remember which character it was, but I do know Bruce Springsteen. He was trying to get him involved.
So that was for Bill. That was one of the two that I have. So you tried to get Bruce Springsteen, the main lead role in this film. I don't know how to feel about that.
Like, then you would have got your overact, and it would probably been, you would have loved it.
Maybe. The other piece of trivia that I have there, it was also considered or offered to Gary Busey.
Fuck. Now,
then I would have got my overact.
Could you imagine him on a coke-fueled movie?
I see if that had happened, I might be giving this a 10 out of 10.
See if that had happened, this movie would have never, ever got out because they'd have both died.
They'd have both died on day one of filming.
I could do more coke than you. No, I could do more coke than you. Bring out the box!
Anyways.
Contender ready!
Do you know of any other trivia off the top of your head?
No, the only bit of trivia I knew was the deleted scenes and Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, right, let's move on then. And let's get into the ratings and our final thoughts. As always, we'll start off with the critic scores. IMDb scored this movie a 5.5 out of 10. Metacritic scored it at 24 out of 100. The Rotten Tomatoes critics, 15% rotten. The Rotten Tomatoes audience given it 50%, though. There is no critic's consensus on this one. There is not one written up. So we're just going to dive straight into our own ratings. Nico, on a scale of 0 to 10, what are you going to rate Maximum Overdrive?
Because of the nostalgia alone, I'm giving it a 1.
Oh. You see, I thought you were going to rate this a little bit higher than me.
Really? But because I like Stephen King, you thought I was...
I thought you were maybe going to be a little bit more forgiving and a little bit more generous than I was. Really? I'm also giving this a 1.
Like, I was tempted to give it a 2 because of Emilio Estevez, but then I thought about it and I'm like, he's shit in this.
He's not even good in this.
Yeah, so it's like, he's the best, I get it, but he's still shit.
No, AC/DC's the best thing. That's what my one point is going to. My one point's going to AC/DC.
Well, technically my one point's going for him giving it a try.
Oh no, I can't give him a point for that. I can't do that. Anyway, so our scores and the critics' scores combined gives Maximum Overdrive an average score of 3.1 out of 10. And it has broken into the bottom five movies that we've covered on the show. It is fourth worst. There are only three movies we have done on the show that are worse rated than this film. Those are Birdemic, Slenderman, and Troll 2. It has the exact same score as Sinister 2. And is one place below Ghost Ship and Halloween 5.
That's mental.
I think there are going to be people who are listening to this that are just thinking, what are you guys talking about? Like, there are going to be people who's just like, this is great. And think that we are just completely wrong. And if that's how you feel, then fair play to you. Like, different strokes for different folks and all that jazz. Yeah. But this... To me, objectively, I just wanted it to be over.
The only decent thing in this is the who came from AC/DC because of this movie. But, you know what I mean? It's just, like, honest to God, you can blatantly tell the person that was doing this, A, had no idea and just thought, I'm going to do something totally way out left field, fucking nobody's going to expect it. And they're right, because it's fucking shit.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. Oh, well, thank fuck that's over.
normally, revenge for Trolls 2.
normally, we would go into listener opinions here, but I was a little bit late on the pulse in getting the thread out, so... we don't have any listener opinions for this episode, which is a shame because I would have actually quite liked to have maybe seen the sort of spread of what people thought. But that was my bad.
Have two friends that love this movie. When I said I was going to be doing it, Stevie went, "It is the best thing Stephen King has ever done. It is so bad, it's good," is what he said.
He thinks it's... See, like, I can get on board with people who think that this is so bad, it's good. If you're of that opinion... whilst I still don't necessarily agree with you, I understand your opinion.
And there's Laura as well, who just thinks it's the best thing ever. It's just pure 80s nostalgia, is what she said.
My microphone is working. I'm just choosing not to respond, to be honest with you. Because, I'll say something mean.
You'll be like, she's wrong.
You said it. You said it, no me. That's going to do it for this week's show. Nico, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me on again, and I'm glad I suggested this one.
It's been a blast. It's been a blast. Unfortunately, watching the movie was not, but you will be back on the show. We've got at least one more planned in right now, but we'll have you back on loads more, as per usual. I think everyone... don't think it's because it's been a wee while since you were on before we did Midnight Meat Train, wasn't it? So
yeah, I hadn't done a horror one in ages.
So we'll have you back on for a few more going forward. But thank you once again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to do your plug again?
Go get your jab.
Yeah, get your vaccine, people. Don't be one of those. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at Screams Behind. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok is at Behind the Screams Podcast. You can also find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Behind the Screams Podcast. We've got some huge, huge news coming over the next few days regarding the future of this podcast, how we're going to be delivering shows, and some changes that's coming up. So stay tuned to our social medias, because we do have some massive, massive announcements coming up. So yeah, but until then, until next time, where we will be covering we mentioned it already on the main show, Tusk, with me, Lucy, and Lindsay. And Nico, you already alluded to being a big fan of Tusk.
Yep, I love that movie. I love the ones where, like, Johnny Depp is playing that weird French Canadian dude.
He's so fucking funny in this film.
Yeah.
And then next week on Sunday, we've got a new special guest, wrestling podcaster Kevin Castle, will be joining me to talk about another Stephen King movie, Christine.
Also a very good movie.
You a fan of that book?
I hate the book, actually, but I did actually like the movie. Yes. It's like one of the opposite ones of what my normal opinion on Stephen King is. I didn't like the book, but I did like the movie. Okay. And it's a very weird scenario.
Okay. But until then, thank you once again to Nico for joining me. Thank you to you guys for downloading, listening to this episode at home. We really appreciate all your support. And we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.